My text this morning then is found in the first chapter of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Moses, my servant, is dead. National mourning came naturally to a people, their leader for 40 years. He was denied entry into his temporal rest, Canaan, but he entered his eternal rest in heaven, resting there instead in God. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 8, we read these words, "And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping for Moses ended." Then we read in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10 and following, "Since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face in all signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before his servants, and all of the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of God." There'll never be another like Moses. He was just tremendous. What an act to follow. But the editor includes some words in verse 9 of this chapter. He says, "Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for the Lord had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." God didn't leave the led leaderless. There was somebody there to take Moses' place. In the year 2023, many issues are unknown to us as individuals, as families, as churches, and countries. We just don't know what's coming up in the next 365 days. Perhaps as a fellowship, a table, we may have our Jordans to cross. We may have our Jerichos to encircle. We may have different kinds of rests to enter into. But be confident, our Joshua Jesus will lead us as we are looking and listening to him. Are you confident of that? That's the only way to start a new year. Could there be new territory, prospering and possessing new ground for God through the spreading of the gospel? That could happen. Don't rule it out. I'm making it quite clear for my 2023. If our Joshua isn't leading me, then I'm not going to take a step forward if I can help it. I only want to follow where he leads. I trust that's how we'll all feel about this new year of 23. We're looking at the first areas of preparation this morning, and then I don't think you're going to get your feet wet if you come tonight, because it's dry ground. Three things then this morning. They were commissioned. God commissioned his people, Joshua particularly as leader. Then secondly, they were commanded. Those in the lead ordered the people. And then as we look at the people, leaders and led, there was a compliance. And I'm suggesting that these three areas should be areas where you and I should consider this year. First of all, they were commissioned. Verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land I'm giving them, the children of Israel. This was God's commission to Joshua and for the nation. It had a militaristic air about it. Joshua became the new commander in the field. He was the Ike, the Patton, the Monty, the Rommel of his day, all rolled into one. I wouldn't mind taking lead from him. This commission affected in two ways this man and his people. What were they? Well, what he had to do and what he had to be, doing and being. That's the commission that we need to see here. Let's proceed. The commission affected all he had to do. What did God commission him to do? Well, verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. You will lead. He was to lead around 2 million people. Doubtless Joshua shuddered at the thought, who am I? Not to be led, but to lead, and look at them. What about my finiteness? What about my limitations? What about my inabilities? I know them. God knows them. And some of the people also know who they're asked to follow. Paul says asks the question in 2 Corinthians 2 and 16, who is sufficient for these things? Perhaps you've been in that position yourself and the load is heavy on your shoulders and you say, well, I'm not up to this. Who is sufficient for it? Paul gives the answer, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul and Joshua knew the burden, but also the enabling power of God to do what he commissioned them to do. You and me and Tabor need the leadership based upon the Holy Spirit given competence for 2023. People led by the Spirit of God. But then verse 2, get ready, cross the Jordan River. You will lead, therefore get ready. God had waited 40 years for this moment in time. A whole generation left Egypt and died in the wilderness. Are you ready now? Because the other generation has gone by. Joshua and Caleb could still smell the grapes of the vines of the clusters they brought through the customs 40 years ago. Could you imagine them? Never losing the scent of it. That kept them going. Perhaps the memory sustained a flagging body and interest. Perhaps their day in that land was enough to long for a lifetime. Get ready. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Joshua, you must trust the same promise. It still is. It's still in being. It's yet to be fulfilled. You've got to be a man of faith. Every step you take brings you nearer to the promise fulfilled. I haven't withdrawn that promise or changed it. It still holds. Keep it. Act upon it. Each step of faith is given and a gain for you. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua and the rest of you, you can rely on me, because that's what Moses did. That's what you've got to do. I will make you invincible. Well, Joshua had to lead. He had to be strong. He had to get ready. Believe in the promises and trust me. I wonder, are we in similar shoes as Joshua was for the next 365 days. This is what we've got to do. But then The commission affected what he had to be. Verse 7, be strong and courageous because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Whatever Joshua wasn't, he was courageous. He's proved to be a courageous man over the years in the wilderness. In Exodus 17 and verse 13, we read, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. He relied upon Moses, Aaron, and Ur in the mountaintop, praying, lifting holy hands while he handled the sword on the battlefield. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. By this time, much of the writing of the law was in the hands of God's people. Moses had died. He was the author of five books, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And by this time, the word was in the hands of the people and in the hearts of the leaders. Whereas God spoke directly to Moses, he gave the law of God to the people and to Joshua. In verse 8, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So be careful to do everything written in it. They had to become the people of the Word of God. The Word dominated the steps they took. And my friends, that's the same for you and me. God has given us a Word that is worthy of acceptance. To preach it, to meditate upon it, to memorize it, and to live upon it. We are not to be, not to deviate to the left or to the right. We're living in a compromising age. In theology, be strong, be courageous, be careful. And in verse 7, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8, then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, I don't know about you, but as a valley person, there is something in me that's very pessimistic. Well, we'll see about that. Sometimes as Christians, we become so negative, we consider the word successful as an unacceptable word. We used to call them when we were kids, it's a naughty word. It's a naughty word to mention in evangelicalism, successful. I'm not called to be successful, I'm just called to be faithful. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever said it yourself? Do we have the right to expect to be successful? This word prosperous has the root meaning successful, to act prudently, to act circumspectly. Successful, prosperous living comes from carefulness about God's word. This is not the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. But success is promised to the faithful. To walk in this. Has there ever been a successful man as Joshua in the Old Testament? I wouldn't mind sitting in his place. I wouldn't mind wearing his boots in spite of all that he went through. So the agenda for 2023 for us is do what we've got to do and be what we ought to be. Sometimes I'm fed up of being myself, but I want it to change. They were commissioned. But then secondly, and very closely to that, they were commanded. Verse 10, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people. Not only God dealing with the leadership, but he's dealing with the led now. The commission is given, the first command now follows. What were the people commanded to do? Bark it out, Wilson. Do you remember that statement? Bark it out. It's similar. Verse 11, get ready. Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, and you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. Get ready. I'm not sure if the manna had stopped completely, but logistically we know that an army marches on its stomach. Logistically, he's got to feed 2 million people for one meal a day at least. As Christians, we are obliged to supply food and cash for the journey. And we're on this journey together. Our tithes and offerings are essential. Our responsibilities are to be shouldered each week in our financial commitment, not only to the running of this society here, but overseas. We've got a march on our stomachs. Take possession. Verse 11, take possession of the land of the Lord your God is giving you for your own. While God gave it, it was the people's responsibility to take it. God says, right, there it is, go and get it. This meant dispossessing the current occupiers. Through our gospel outreach, we take possession of the roads, the streets, the shops of Flantrisant and Talbot Green and other places, winning the territory, not by force of arms, but by the power of the gospel that is in our hands. We're out to take possession of all that is owned by others. Are we up for that? Obviously, we're not to do this by force of arms. But what we have is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. There's territory there that needs to be taken. But you know, my friends, there are other territories occupied that we need to overtake and dispossess. The Canaan within. Within our own souls, there are the occupiers. They have no right to be there. Let's name a few of them. Gossiping tongue, always busy. Unforgiving nature, the roots are deep. Green-eyed jealousy, lots of that there. Lustful desires, even in old age. They're occupying our inner being. And God says, get rid of them. This is the doctrine calls every Christian, in some respects, to be a killer, to mortify the deeds of the body. Put these who are occupying within to the sword. But they reason with us. But we've always been here. This is our home. We were here first. We are settlers, not squatters. My friends, get them out. Put them to the sword. Because we are here to possess. My friends, a table as a fellowship, let's take possession of Llantrisen with our gospel witness and drive out of our souls those settlers that have made their home deep within our hearts. Get ready. Take possession. Be united. Verse 14, you are to help your brothers. Some decided to stay where they were, but they were obligated to go with the rest to take possession of Jericho and the surrounding areas. Verse 14, you are to help your brothers. It was to be a united force. Do so in formation. Verse 14, all your fighting men, fully armed. As believers, we are to put on the full armor of God. And don't fight each other, only the enemies of grace. Right? Make sure you've got your enemy and not your brother or sister at the end of your sword. Enter your rest, verse 15, until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you. After 40 years of weary wanderings, they were commanded to enter into rest. Practically 2020, 2021, 2022, they've been hectic years, difficult, sad years, heartbreaking years for many. Life will never be the same in the light of what has taken place. Yet we can rest in the arms of Jesus, safe in his tender care. As believers in Jesus, we are commanded to rest in him. He says, doesn't he? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Perhaps some of you here this morning are not Christians. And life has been a fight for you. You're possessed by a power that is doing you no use at all. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's part of our orders from our Joshua. They were commanded. But then, thirdly and finally, and very quickly, they were compliant. Joshua was commissioned, Israel were commanded. Now we see all were compliant. In what way? Well, in verse 16, they then answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us to us, we will do. They spoke as one nation. We will do. We will do, verse 16, whatever you want us to do. Now, what does God want you and me to do here for the next year? Here's something he wants us to do. You'll find it there in Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And then put on the new man, the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And in Colossians he says, put on the image of God in true knowledge. God wants to make more visible his image in you. Holiness and righteousness is being renewed. You lost it at the fall. He wants to increase his knowledge of him in your heart. It's the new you. Put it on. Put off the old. Put on the new. Be more like Jesus for the next year. As Christians, we are to comply to this command. Verse 16, we will do. Verse 17, we will go, and wherever you send us, we will go. They were being sent into a foreign land. We go wherever you send us, we will go. I wonder, has God ever commanded you possibly to go to the mission field? possibly to theological seminary to prepare for the ministry. Perhaps he's called you to do something locally within this fellowship. Perhaps you will say, as Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me. Who will go for me? Here am I, send me." Excuse me for using a personal illustration, but 55 years ago tomorrow, I left the capital, Merthyr Tydfil, for London, for the London City Mission. It was Monday morning, January the 1st, 1968. My mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife outside Burton's Corner in Merthyr, waving, kissing goodbye. Got on the train, I cried all the way to Pontypridd, and then I recovered, and off to London. London City Mission, here I come. Have you ever had experiences like that? Have you ever had God calling you? You've responded? Perhaps God calling you and you didn't respond? 40 years before this nation disobeyed God and didn't enter the land, their sons and their grandsons now were complying and not complaining. They were responding. They were compliant in their hearts to do what God wanted them to do. Don't let a disobedient heart spoil your life at the very beginning of it. Compliance costs, but it's worth it. Just one last thing, because it's a request. Verse 17, the people saying, "Just as we have fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." What does he mean? Well, the people who were led wanted to see God in the lives of those who were leading. It's a big issue to be called into church office, pastor, elders, deacons. What a responsibility to lead a congregation. Don't minimize it. Pray for them. Ask God to be seen amongst them. Oh, another thing. In a sense, it's the right of the pastor, the elders, and the deacons to see God in those who are being led. I wonder, what do they see when they look at us? What do we see when we look at them? What do we see when we look at one another? Do we see God in the midst? Do we see God leading us and guiding us? We should be the most confident people on the face of the planet. God is amongst us. Let's follow. We've been given a commission. We've been given a commandment. Have we been given that compliance to do what God wants us to do? May God bless his word to our hearts.